Oh, what a great song to sing, God, that our hope and trust, our faith are in you, and that, God, in this life we will have trouble, but, God, you said you would walk with us, and that's our confidence today, and that's our trust and hope, and I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us and build us up in our faith, and that, God, your gladness would be in our spirit today. So thank you so much, God, for your goodness towards us. We love you, God. And as we sung earlier, we do offer up our lives, God, that you would use our lives for your glory. And we give our lives to you afresh and anew today as we, God, hear your Spirit's word to us today. We thank you, Jesus, in your glorious and wonderful and matchless and powerful and amazing and incredible name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it is good to be with you today. And as Chad said earlier, you know, it is a little bit different and can be a little bit lonely in the building. But thankful there's a handful of us here. And we can encourage one another in the building. And just so you know, I hope you were able to do this in your living room because it's not the same. But when we were singing the last song there, if I looked around the room, there were there's about six or seven of us in the room, but there were a lot of hands raised in worship, and you need to know that we're engaging in this process, and thank you for being patient with us in this process right now we find ourselves in. But God is good and God is faithful. COVID-19. Boy, last 9 months have stirred up a lot of interesting thoughts, and as we've gone in further, and we're hitting that nine-month mark now where we've shut down the way things were, you know, there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration at this point now. There's separation, there's isolation, there's, depression is a real thing going on. There's even anger and bitterness. There's all these things that are taking place. And, we're learning how to deal with something we've never had to deal with before. And so that's why I think it's so important that because we don't know how to react or how to live or how to work this out all the time, that we keep our focus on Christ and what does God's word say, and how can we honor God with our lives? How can we offer our lives up to God every day? And really, we have to start every day like it's a new day. We can't just sort of roll with the punches anymore. We've got to get up and we've got to make a conscious decision that today I'd love for my life to honor Jesus. So, you know, we're all in this together. And there's a lot of lonely people in our world right now. It's not just here in Prince George or British Columbia or Canada, you know, North America. It's all over the world. And there are a lot of lonely people that need some good news. And that good news at this time of year, of course, is the news of Emmanuel, that God came to be with us and to save us and to give us eternal hope and life. And that's the good news message of the gospel that people need to know. And if you're listening today and you're in your home, my heart goes out to those of that live alone in our church family, and we can't connect as we often could. I go up for you because you might be lonely. You might be in that place where you are so isolated and maybe a little bit discouraged today, but the church family online today and those of us in the building here just want to say to you that we love you and we want you to persevere and get through this, and we love for you to reach out. If you're lonely in your living room, don't just stay in that way. You know, give us a phone call. If we get a voicemail at the church here, we'll get back to you. Pastor Tiffany and I follow up our messages, so please do that. But know that we're, even though we're not there, we're together in spirit in the Lord. Christmas is a great time for me. I love Christmas. I love entertaining people. I love throwing parties. I have a lot of plans that I do and creative ways of getting together with people during the holidays. And of course, we've been asked not to meet outside of our immediate homes. And so things are different for me. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not totally happy with it. I want to be able to do what I normally would do, but I understand what's going on now in the big sense, and I'm going to persevere just like, you know, you will in your setting and in your situation. Christmas Eve, of course, will be different this year because we can't gather in the church building. But it's that thought of the good news of Christmas. You know, we can't lose sight that even though we can't practice and do what we normally would have done, that we can still celebrate Christ and we can still celebrate Christmas. And if we have to video our family, then we'll video our family and have Christmas dinner online. But it's just the idea that we've got to keep our heart and our mind centered on Christ. Because He is, as somebody said to me again recently, that old catchphrase, He is the reason for this season if you're a person of faith. You know, I'm continuing my own personal journey in these last 9 months. I have progressively had a plan to get closer to God during this season. That's your pastor's desire. That's what I want to do, and it's what I've been putting myself to do. And now disciplines in your life and changing disciplines in your life are not always easy, and they're not always easy for me either. I've really working this through and struggling in some of the disciplines I'm chasing after. But my goal is to know God in a deeper way, that I would have a deeper relationship with God. And this season of 9 months has given me the perfect opportunity to break stride with my routines that were before and reset myself and really decide in my heart and in my life that Christ means everything to me. And if He really means everything to me, then I can go after Him, I can seek Him, I can know Him, and that everything else in my life can fall into place as the Spirit leads and gives into my life. I'm learning how to pray differently. I'm learning how to meditate in the Spirit with God. I'm learning how to abide with God and being quiet because I'm a doer. I'm a person who has to be doing and my mind's always going. So I'm trying to learn how to just be still before God. I'm learning how to live in faith, you know, how to increase my faith and to grow in my faith. I'm learning to engage the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can work through my life. You know, I want to be able to be in the middle of my day and have the Holy Spirit, you know, speak into me with that small, still small voice and say, Rich, would you go do this? Or would you turn down this street here? Or would you, yeah, this person, this face I'm putting in your view, would you go and help them or encourage them in the Lord? I want to be sensitive to what the Spirit is doing, and I want to be able to have the Spirit use the gifts that He has for me at any moment. But this is, as you know, a lifetime process. But in these last 9 months, I've been given an opportunity to reset some of this stuff so that I can actually begin to grow. You know, I ask myself the question, over the last, you know, years of my life, have I really taken for granted, you know, some of the practices, some of the things that I'm doing in my life? Have I sort of just doing things that are routine or because I'm used to doing them, or it's just the way I've always done them? And is that good enough anymore? You see, these are the questions I'm asking myself. I'm asking myself really good questions because I want to be able to be an example to this church family, to my family, to my neighbors of a person who's really striving to practice what he preaches and what he knows to be the truth and the Word of God. I want to be that kind of person. You know, I ask myself as a pastor, you know, how do I have better relationships with you? You know, how do I learn how to love you more and more like God loves you? How do I learn more and more to care for you in your spiritual journey and in your practical journey of life? How do I do that? How do I engage you so that I care for you in a more deep way? You know, how do I help you as a person of faith and as a family that you've gathered together with your children? How do I engage you so that I can help you to grow in Christ and in your faith? These are questions that I ask myself because the times are here. We're in a different world today than I was 10, 20, 30 years ago. Things have changed, and things are rapidly changing more often. And the time is coming when we will not have freedom in our faith at all in this society. You know, this is just a blimp on the road, an inconvenience, a bumper thing to not be able to gather together like we used to do it, and some of our personal rights we figure are being infringed upon. But it's just a blimp on what will take place when persecution really comes to North America and to the church. Because the New Testament persecution, you know, was such where people's lives were at risk, where people were martyred, where people were beat, where people were stoned, imprisoned. There was a definite persecution for their faith and for the gospel. And we haven't hit that threshold here like it was in New Testament persecution and in times. So here's the thing is that we have to be prepared as people of faith for whatever we may face tomorrow. We don't know what 2021 will face. We don't know what 2022, 2023. We don't know when Christ will return. We don't know when the events of history will unfold in a sense of our future, where the Bible of Revelation will intersect with reality of life. And in some ways, it has begun to do that. But you know, it's coming. We know it's happening, and every one of us should be prepared. And as a pastor, it is my call, it is my duty, it is my responsibility under God is to help you to be ready for those times that we may face. That's why I believe God in the fall, and you've heard this catchphrase from me over and over again already in the last few months, is that I believe God has called you and called me to raise the bar of our faith. That we can no longer just stay stagnant or the same or plateaued as the way we've been. We've got to elevate our pursuits of God. We've got to learn how to connect with God in a fuller sense, in a deeper sense, in a more intellectual sense. We need to learn how to connect with each other, because in these times when we can't gather together as a group, we need each other. And we need to encourage one another. And we need to really invest in how we can connect with each other so we can do more work for the gospel in this neighborhood, in this city. You know, this season is not a waste. This season is not unfruitful, because God is at work in this season. God didn't stop 9 months ago and decide, okay, well, COVID-19 came to the world, so I'll take a break. God has been active. He's at work. He's using this time and this season for His purposes. And the purposes of God are far more important than what my life is like. You know, we don't have to stay the same. We need to be different in our approach to God, in the sense that we just become more passionate for God, more loving of God, more deep for God, more wanting God to use our lives. We've got to learn, what does it mean to raise the bar of our faith and to grow in our faith? I asked myself a question, and I encourage you to ask yourself this question too. You know, I asked myself this: have I been allowing God to do what He wants to do in me during this season? What does God want to do in my life during this season to make me a stronger believer, a stronger person, a stronger pastor? What does God want to do in this life right now, in this season? You know, my fear, and I don't say this in a negative way of fear, but a real passionate fear for me, is that we will stay the same as we were 9 months ago, and we'd be the same today. That's a real fear to me, that I won't be that kind of person who's the same. You know, I have a fear, and this is at the other end of the scale, that during this season, that some might actually fall away from their faith or give up on their faith. And I hope that's not true for you. But I have that fear, and that could happen. That's a possibility. You know, I have a fear that we could continue to have bad habits in our life and get comfortable with the way things are, and not want to change and be more vital for the kingdom of God. And I have a real fear that connections will be lost in our lives and in our church family, and that we won't be developing those connections with one another because of the isolation of being physically apart. You know, I know that BC or British Columbia has a hard stance right now on church life and on social gatherings. You know, what's more important to me is the fact that, you know, I can't have my entire family in my house at any given time. Just supposed to have just myself and my wife. And as a grandparent, of course, I'm taking care of my granddaughter. but it's a very limited number, and we all are in that situation, whether you're in faith or not. Across the province, that's the reality, that our government has placed that restriction on us. You know, in the midst of all of this, I need you to know as a pastor some things about me in this whole situation is I love church. I love this building. I love gathering on Sunday in this building. And don't ever think I don't, because I want to be able to honor with integrity in my heart with the government that's over me right now. But I want to be together in this building. I believe we are called by God to assemble together, to be together. But I also understand that in this season, it's not an easy thing for us, because the government has placed this burden on us for the safety and health of all of British Columbians. But I want you to know that that doesn't change the fact that I believe that the church is important, and that we can gather together. And for this season, I hope, if nothing else, that I learn a little bit more passionately when I come back in the building, and we're all in this building, that when I'm over on my side over here, or I sit somewhere else and change things up, that I'm sitting there and worshiping God, that I'm not like I used to be and just sit there like a sourpuss, but that I would be up there dancing before the Lord and being excited about God, because I'm celebrating that God has been faithful. He has not changed. He is the same God today as He was yesterday and will be forever. And that this family deserves to celebrate the faithfulness of God when we gather together. And when Chad or Jason or Lisa or whoever is up here and leading us in worship, that we are passionate to worship God and to give Him the thanks and the glory and the honor that He deserves, because He deserves all of our being to give Him praise and glory and honor. I think I'm starting to preach. I hope you're getting excited in your living room, excited because of Jesus Christ. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done for you and for me. He's given us eternal life. There's a thing you've probably watched or read in our province right now about this whole situation. And if you've been watching the news or stuff, you'll know that some churches have decided to defy the public order and open their building and gather. And I think I'm going to read you something here first, and then I'll respond very quickly to what my thoughts are on that right now. And this is an email that the pastors of the Pentecostal churches from our district superintendent of the BC and Yukon district, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. This is what he wrote to us pastors in response to these news things going on in the times that we face ourselves in. He says, the last 8 months have been incredibly disruptive for all of us. The restrictions on gathering and the changing regulations have created unprecedented challenges for pastors and churches throughout our network. And yet you have been innovative, resilient, and faithful in the face of what might be the greatest leadership test in a generation. My heart overflows with thankfulness for you, and I echo Paul's words to the Ephesian church. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called His holy people, who are rich in glorious inheritance. Nonetheless, as the pandemic wears on and we continue to face restrictions on gathering, the patience of our pastors and their churches is wearing thin. The media has reported about churches in the Fraser Valley that have defied the current public health order, and we're aware that some of our BC Yukon District churches are contemplating similar action, especially as Christmas approaches. I understand the frustrations you're feeling and the longing you have to gather with your flock to worship God and celebrate His goodness together. I feel them too. However, I implore you to remain patient, continue to honor our provincial government's leadership. We are doing our best to influence political leaders to understand the unique role the church plays in the spiritual, mental, social, and physical health of every British Columbian and those who live in the Yukon. We have also proposed amendments to the provincial health orders that could enable churches to gather again while following health protocols. While the district office advocates on behalf of our network of churches, we ask you to consider the following. Every pastor and church have the opportunity to be the voice of hope and peace in very troubling times. As you know, the gospel is good news, and we can counter the flood of bad news by being heralds of the best news. These restrictions are temporary, so in the meantime, be salt and light, engage with community needs, evangelize the lost, care for the brokenhearted. Churches should gather, but they should also scatter. This is an opportunity for the church to learn to flex its scattering muscles, which for far too long have been weak and atrophied. I had to look up that word atrophied, by the way. It means having lost effectiveness or vigor due to underuse or neglect. Take Romans 13, 1-5 to heart by praying for and honoring our provincial government leaders and your local MLA. What we are facing right now is frustration, not persecution. We encourage you to send an email to your local MLA or your provincial leaders to offer prayers and express your concerns about the urgency of reopening churches in a manner that is safe for everyone. And they give the three emails of Bonnie Henry, Adrian Dix, and Premier John Horgan, if you'd like those. Use this time to refine your digital strategy, which we are doing our best on live stream, and so thankful for our tech people, otherwise we wouldn't be able to gather in this way at all. I realize this short letter does little to answer your questions about the future, nor does it address the thorny political and legal issues surrounding the temporary closures of churches. Be assured that we're keenly interested in both concerns and will continue to advocate on behalf of our network churches. In the meantime, I pray this over you, your family, your church. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you, strengthen you in every good thing you do and that you say. That's Reverend Ken Russell, our district superintendent. And I thank you, Ken, for your words to us. You know, I get this out of that. This is a difficult time, and a lot of us are handling it in different ways. Some of us are more frustrated than others. Some are you know, off to one end of the scale. Some are at the other end of the scale. But as I said early on when we were recording our messages way back in May and June, you know, that should never divide the church. We should never be divided because we're handling this differently. It's something that we should stay united in Christ and have the same purpose that the gospel will continue to be uplifted in all of our lives. So I would say, let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our leaders that God would give them wisdom and that God's will would be done in their life and in the life of our province. And it's important to remember we're called to love God first. You know, the greatest commandment, to love God with all our heart, might, and strength. So let's get all of our wisdom and our attention and our direction from him. And then secondly, we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And we want people to care for us, so we need to make sure that we care for others. And I just wanted to say a side note here, and I'm going to ask Pastor Tiffany to come in a moment. She's going to read a post that she made online this last week. I love the post. It was real, and I wanted you, if you haven't, you know, heard it, to hear it. And I want to be able to take the end of the message here and just have Pastor Tiffany and I encourage you in this battle. But I would like you to know this: we have a generation of children and young people right now that need to know how important it is in every circumstance to love God and to be able to hang on and have peace and strength in our lives and not to be distracted or discouraged to the point of turning away. They need to see how we respond in this generation of these 9 months and all that is going on in our world. How are we going to respond? How are we going to be people of faith? But be encouraged in this next part as the Lord speaks and ministers to your spirit. Pastor Tiffany.
Need an extra hand to put my mask away. Heavy-hearted. What do you post when your heart feels sad? What do you write when you're tired of being disappointed? And what do you say when life is heavy? See, I know the truth, and the right things to remind myself of, the things I strongly believe. I know where I'll spend my eternity and where my hope and help come from. I know that I'm made in the image of my Creator, the Creator. I know that Christmas is a season of expectation, a time to remind ourselves of Emmanuel, God with us. I know that this world is broken, and that's not where the story ends. I know that I need to move forward, how to live, the right thing to do, that life is a journey. I know that feelings aren't facts. They're allowed in the car, but we should never let them drive. I know. But I also need to feel. I need to feel these different, strong emotions. I need to acknowledge that I am sad. So sad. And I need to say that this is hard. Sorry. I need to let the people I love and care about know that I miss them. My Zoom and phone calls are no longer cutting it. I miss my people, I miss my tribe, I miss my family, I miss my students, and I miss you. I need to feel all of the things so I can give them to Jesus and let them go. Instead of letting them bury me. None of this is reason to quit, and none of this is reason to give up. But in case you needed a reminder today, you have permission to feel all the things. But then, please let them go. 2020 has been a roller coaster, but truthfully, life has and will always be that way. So remind yourself of what you know. Remind yourself of the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that came so many years ago, swaddled in a manger.
Amen. You see why I wanted you to hear those words? Because we all have feelings and we're all handling this differently. But at the end of the day, we all have emotions and we all have an invested emotional life that we're living through this whole thing. But I think it's important to remember a little thing that she said in her post, and that is we all have these feelings, but you know they're in the car, but don't let them drive. And can I call you to put your eyes on Jesus? You know, that He's the one that can give you the strength and the encouragement in these times. You know, let me throw some scriptures at you, and it's going to be a few here, and I'm going to go through them fast. But this is a word of encouragement for you, especially those that are discouraged a bit today. Jeremiah 31:25 says, I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. That's the promise of God. And Jesus is the living water. And in John 4, He said to the woman at the well, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And in John 7, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in were to receive. You know, we need the Spirit of God in our life. We need the encouragement, the refreshing, and the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. And you today can call out to God and ask for the Spirit to fill you to fullness so that the water, the living water, will flow again in your life and the joy of the Lord will come up and the joy of the Lord can be your strength and your passion and your foundation today once again. The Bible says to seek God first and all the other things will shall be added to you. Acts 11:23, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. That's Paul. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians 4, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me paraphrase that. In the midst of this life right now, in this season of isolation, let's not lose heart, because it's momentary, it's light affliction. And we should be striving for eternity, which is a relationship with God, and let God in that relationship carry us in these days. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. And lastly, in 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. How do we survive this season? We get close to Jesus. How do we survive this season? We allow the Holy Spirit in the presence of God to empower us and to give us the strength to do it. Chad's going to come in a moment, and he's going to lead us in an old hymn. And it's the old hymn, How Great Thou Art. And really, when it comes down to in this season, can we all agree together that in the midst of it all, that we acknowledge and continue to acknowledge how great God is? He is not powerless. He's not silent. He's at work in the life of this world. He's in the life of our province. He's in the life of our church family. He's in your life and in mine. There's a other song that we've sung, an old chorus that we sing occasionally still. And I'd just like to read the words as a blessing over us. And then I'd like to pray. And then Chad's going to lead us in that song, and Pastor Tiffany will come up. It's that song, Times of Refreshing. It says, well, I thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior. You're the strength and you're the rock on which I stand. You give me life and grace that's greater when I humble myself beneath your mighty hands. You bring times of refreshing to my soul. When I'm weary from the fight of trying to do what's right, you bring times of refreshing to my soul. And for the day will come when we'll all be gathered, and the sun will rise with healing in its wings, and all the years of pain won't seem to matter when our eyes behold our teacher and our king. You bring times of refreshing. You bring times of refreshing. You bring times of refreshing to my soul. And that's my prayer and my blessing and my hope for your life, that you will continually find times of refreshing in your soul. I would like to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do something as well. Pastor Tiffany had you stand at the beginning of the service. And would you do the same this moment right now? Would you stand wherever you are watching this? And would you allow me to pray and to bless you in the name of Jesus? God, over every person, the few of us in this room, and God, all those that are on the live stream watching right now, and God, at any time during the week, in the future, when they log into our website and watch this service, it's each of them, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bless. And God, I pray that your Spirit will fill them to the fullness, that they will be filled with joy and peace. And God, those things will be their strength. I pray, God, that you will provide for everything in their life. I pray, God, you'd be a banner over their household. And God, that you will continue to strengthen and renew day after day after day. God, help us not to give up. Help us not to become so weary, God, that we become ineffective and crippled in our lives and in our faith. God, help us to always remember that you are present in our lives. And when we're sad or we're weary or we're disappointed or we're getting depressed, God, or we're even angry, God, that we know that you're still with us and you're still working in our lives. And in those times, God, may we turn our eyes and our spirits to you and find refreshing for our souls. And God, during this Christmas season that we will have in these next couple of weeks, God, into this new year, may you still let your joy be the dominance in our life, in our spirit. God, I pray jealously over every individual and every old household, God, that you would spoil them. You would give them a season in the next month, God, that will be beyond their expectations or imaginations, God, that you will do great things in each heart and in each life, in each household, God. So in the name of Jesus, I bless you with every spiritual blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. God, you are great. I follow this pastor out of Portland, and he had said the other day that like joy and hustle or joy and hurry and busyness are incompatible, and kind of dug into that, and I won't get into that. I'll just let you linger on that. This idea that like joy and busyness can't really coexist. And so Christmas has often been a season that's marked with like busy and hurry and getting everything done and just doing and going and lots of that is fun, but lots of that's actually really stressful. Like as a parent and a wife and a mother and an adult, like that's a lot of work. And so most of you wouldn't argue that with me. And so I would just encourage you to think, like, if this Christmas is quieter, like give yourself permission not to recreate or redo or fill in all of those things that you normally do, and just allow it to be what it is, and just ask God to show you his joy. I actually wept more this week because I just felt God's Spirit rest on me this one day and was so overwhelmed by his joy and gratitude for some of the fruit of his work in my life. Yeah, it was beautiful and it was amazing. And so these things can coexist. Like we can be sad and joyful, but joy and busyness usually don't work together. So just let that sink in. And yeah. And on that note, our Christmas Eve service will be online and we'll have the link out for that. It'll all be pre-recorded. And you can find that on our webpage. But we will probably also put the link on Facebook. So if you have social media and you're on Facebook, we just want to encourage you to like share the church post. Not because we want the church to get lots of likes or whatever, but because we want that link to be accessible to those around you, those people that might, you know, only ever go to church on Christmas Eve or look for that opportunity. So share that post, like the church post, you know, spread it around so that even though we can't come and do what we do on Christmas Eve, we can still impact those around us with the message of hope and the birth of Jesus. So just going to close in a quick prayer. And yeah, God, we thank you that you are good, that you are faithful, God, that you are the only one we can trust, God, that when life is hard, you're there for us. God, you go before us, you're with us, you never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus, we just ask that those truths would just resonate in our mind as we walk through life. In this season and in every season, God, you are good and you are with us. And so would we look for opportunities to just enjoy your presence, to be filled with your joy. And God, would we shine that light to those around us. And I just pray for every person. God, would you bless them? And would they just have a spirit of joy over them this week? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.